So we are reading from John chapter 6, verse 25 to 40. So reading from verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get there?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day."
Great. Well, do please pick up your Bibles again and turn back to John chapter 6. And we're going to think about those verses for a few moments together. And as we do that, let me pray for us so that we might learn from God. Father God, we thank you for your word. The word which we've just sung about now spoke the whole of creation into being. And we do pray that that word would shine into our hearts to bring you life. Father, we thank you for the life which you give us through your Son. And we do pray that this morning we might learn more of that as we come to your word. Would you teach us, and would you help us to have soft hearts to listen and to believe what you say? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if I can ask this morning, I wonder what one of the best meals you've ever eaten has been. You know, as you think about all the different meals you might have eaten in your life, what's been the best meal you've ever eaten? As I was thinking about this week, I think one of the best meals that Kirsty, my wife, and I ever ate actually was last year when we visited France. We went to Paris last year just for the weekend together. And when we got there, we kind of travelled from Sheffield on the train to London, then to Paris and the Eurostar. We kind of walked around then for most of the day, kind of tired in the evening, found this little cafe. It wasn't particularly anything special inside, and we sat down in the corner. It wasn't very busy. We had confit duck and some little kind of chips that they'd cooked. And it was just amazing. Wonderful meal. I don't know what the best one for you is. But good food is great, isn't it? When you sit down and you eat and you feel nourished and it brings enjoyment and it brings satisfaction and contentment, it's a great thing. Yeah, as we come to John 6 this morning, did you see that actually what we're looking at is a word, we're looking for food which will actually satisfy. You see, good food is great, but often you find that the very next day you need to have some more food. Because it doesn't sustain you forever, does it? So the next morning you get up and you want some more. It perishes, doesn't actually satisfy. And Jesus this morning says he comes to bring food which will last forever. Food which will be so very, very precious to us. And this morning, this word, as we come to John 6, is a word which will bring hope and comfort whatever we are feeling about life. And we prayed about the referendum result in our prayers this morning. And yeah, I guess for many in this room, there'll be some of you who are rejoicing that we will no longer be in Europe. I guess there'll be many other people, if my Facebook page is anything to go by, who will be really upset about it, who will be heartbroken about it, who will be in shock about it, who will be fearful of the future and what that might bring. Well, as we come to John 6, we will see that Jesus gives hope and peace and security in these words. I guess others of you may be worried about many other things. You might be worried about the future as you face financial uncertainty, as you face an uncertain future in terms of your health, uncertain in so many different ways, and that these words which Jesus speaks this morning will bring hope and security and satisfaction in this world. And here's what I think the passage is about in just one sentence. It's recognize and reject the futility of working for food which perishes. Instead, come to and believe in Jesus, the true bread for heaven, and rejoice that he will never fail. I'll take each of that sentence and I'll break it down and we'll go through each and I'll show how the passage teaches that point. So firstly, recognize and reject the futility of working for food which perishes. Now you see what Jesus says in John 6 is, we strive for food each day, and yet there is one great issue with the fact that we strive for this food, and that is that it perishes. It doesn't last. It goes moldy. We always need more. You wake up in the morning and you need to eat again. You get home from work and you need to eat again. The food that we eat never satisfies. You always need more. And so Jesus says in verse 27, do not work for food that spoils. Now, you remember the context into which these words were spoken. Now, Jesus has done a remarkable, a very great miracle in verses 1 to 15. Or, as John calls them, probably more importantly, a very great sign. A sign pointing to something else. A sign that happened, as you read at the beginning of the chapter, happened at the time of the Passover. The time when the Israelite people, the Jews, remembered all that God had done in saving them from slavery in Egypt and taking them to be in their own land. And if you don't know the story of the Exodus, it was the time when God's people, the Israelites, were slaves in Egypt, had been slaves there for many, many years. And God called a man called Moses to come and to take the people out, to save the people. Yeah, it wasn't really Moses that saved them, it was God. God did these amazing, remarkable signs, and eventually he rescued the people from Egypt. He took them across the Red Sea, he took them through the wilderness, and eventually he took them into the Promised Land. God saved his people. And as part of that saving, as they were going through the wilderness for 40 years, God fed the people. Every morning they'd wake up and there'd be this stuff on the ground, which they called manna, which sustained and which supported and which gave them life. God gave them bread from heaven. And in John 6, in verses 1 to 15, we see that as God had done all those years before in the wilderness, Jesus then fed 5,000 people in the wilderness with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And he fed them with so much bread and fish that there was 12 basketfuls left over. Now, I think the significance of the 12 basketfuls is that there was no one there who was still hungry. And if there's somebody there who's thinking, oh, I could do with a bit more to eat, well, there's 12 basketfuls. Go and help yourself. You see, nobody was needing any more. They were full. They were satisfied. They had been hungry, and now they were full, satisfied. And then we come to today's verses. Now, you'll see in verse 22 that it starts with the next day. Now, do you see that? The very next day, the people are hungry again, and so they go looking for Jesus. In verses 22 to 24, they can't find Jesus, and so they search all over, and eventually they find him on the other side of the lake, and they say, how did you get here? And Jesus doesn't answer that question. He answers their real question. He exposes their motives. You see what he says, verse 26? Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do you see what Jesus is saying? They are coming not because they want to find him, but they want to get more bread from Jesus. He did it yesterday. Is he going to do it again today? And they come because, well, they had the food the day before, but now they're hungry again. They need more. You see, we always need more. And so that's why Jesus says, verse 27, do not work for food that spoils. And Jesus says it's entirely possible. Indeed, it's the very nature of things now that we work and we work and we are never satisfied. We always need more bread. I found it interesting this week to think Jesus did this great miracle of feeding these 5,000 people with bread. And it really taps into what we need in life, isn't it? We need bread. So think of some of the expressions we use. You know, somebody who's struggling financially and they're on the edge of being able to cope, we say they're on the bread line. Or you think of the person who goes out to work each day. It used to be the father and the family, and he was called the breadwinner. Now, I guess so many of us here are breadwinners. We go out every day to work so that we might win bread. Now, I guess when we use that phrase, we know that we're not actually winning actual bread. We're not earning actual bread. We are, for ourselves now, we're earning money. But we're earning money so that we can buy bread, are we not? We're earning money so that we can pay for the insurance. We're earning money so that we can pay for the gas and the electricity, so that we can put clothes on ourselves and on our family. We are earning enough money, hopefully, so that we can buy entertainment and fun and security in so many different ways. We are working for our bread. And Jesus says, putting all your efforts into those things is foolish because they all perish. See, we can put our efforts into being breadwinners. But ultimately, that is futile. And so Jesus is saying, recognize and reject seeking after earthly food, after earthly bread, because it all perishes. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying that means we should jack our jobs in and go and live in a commune somewhere. Rather, what he's saying is that we can spend so much time, be so consumed by those things, that we miss the fact that there is something bigger and better and greater. And if we focus just on those things, we will end with a life which is futile, in which perishes. You see, what the big burden of this passage will be, is Jesus saying, is there something, there's bread which can bring satisfaction and joy and life which will last forever? And when once you have tasted, it will never be taken away. There'll be never anything more that you need to do to keep going with it. You see, we need to recognize and reject that just that working for earthly food just won't work. Instead, what we need to do is come to Jesus, to believe in him, the true bread of heaven. You see, this is the main thrust of the passage, so track it through with me from verse 27. You see, Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. You see, he says there is a food which sustains you forever, which gives life forever and ever. In verse 27, he says it is the life which the Son of Man will give to you. The Son of Man being a description of himself, a name for himself. This is a food which I will give, Jesus says. The people misunderstand, and so they ask in verse 28, what must we do to do the work God requires? You see, they think there must be some activity or task to do to get this bread. They're thinking they're going to win the bread in another way. Now, what must they do to earn eternal life? And it's almost, you can imagine them getting their checkbooks out and saying, okay, where do I sign the check? Who do I make it payable to? That'll get me in. Or they're saying, just show us the hoop, Jesus, and we'll jump through it. We can do that for you. Or show us the exam, Jesus. We'll sit the exam. We can do that. You see, they think they can earn this bread that lasts forever through their effort. Which is often what we think about everything in life, isn't it? You need to earn it. You need to achieve it. Now, I guess for those of you who are still at school, you hear this kind of thing all the time. So you need to work really hard in your exams, because if you work hard in your exams, then you will get a good job in the end. And if you get a good job, then that will mean you can pay for lots in life, and then you will be able to do all these different things with life. And your exams are really important because they're going to determine your future, so work hard at them. You see, and we can bring that mentality of, I need to work hard to get something, to Jesus. But Jesus has just said, this is what the Son of Man will give you. And then he shows that the work that God requires is not any work at all, really. You see in verse 29? The work of God is this, to believe the one he has sent. The work of God is this, to believe the one he has sent. You see, it's not some religious activity that they must do. It's believing in Jesus. It's not being a good, moral, upright person which will bring them to eternal life. It's believing in Jesus. It's not about earning lots of money. It's about believing in Jesus. Now, the people still don't quite get it. So, see what they say in verse 30? What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They want a sign. They say, Jesus, what will you do to make us believe in you? And I find the request remarkable. I've been struggling to think kind of positively about these people this week. Now, what were they looking for? In verses 1 to 15, Jesus has just fed a multitude of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And now they're saying, what sign are you going to show us? Our fathers ate bread in the wilderness. You see, maybe they actually recognized something of what Jesus was saying, in that they are still hungry the next day. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you something that lasts forever. I don't know, maybe they were expecting that they could open the bread bin each morning and then there would be more bread. Every morning they would get there and the bread was in the bread bin. You'd never have that panic in the morning of thinking, oh no, no bread for the packed lunches. And what are we going to do? But yet they missed the point. Now Jesus will say of them in a moment in verse 36, you don't believe. You see me, but you don't believe in me. You see, Jesus goes from talking about then the bread which he will give, this eternal life, to actually show that the bread is himself. Jesus is the bread. He's the one that they need. You see, he shifts the focus back to himself. Look at verse 32. Very truly, I tell you. And when he says very truly in John, it's kind of translating amen, amen. It's like a solemn pronouncement, something really important he wants them to see. Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. You see what he does? He says, it wasn't Moses who fed you in the wilderness, it was God, my Father. He was the one who gave you bread from heaven. And the one who gave you bread in the past, in the wilderness, is the same one who's going to give you bread now. You see, they don't need to look for another Moses. They need to look to God, their Father, still. Not another impressive human being, but actually to God himself, the one who gives the bread. And look closely how he describes the bread here in verse 31. See, God gave them bread in the past, and he gives them bread now. But what is the bread now? Look at verse 31. Verse 32. You see, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Do you see that? The true bread from heaven. True bread. You see, what happened in the past, all those years ago, when God saved his people from Egypt, and he led them through the wilderness, and he gave them bread in the wilderness, that wasn't the true bread. Each morning they woke up and they needed more, and those people still died. And yet what Jesus is saying now, he has come to bring true bread. He is the reality of what the shadow was pointing to all those years past. In the wilderness, that bread on the wilderness ground each morning was only a shadow. And it was pointing to something much greater. The something much greater that Jesus himself is now bringing. And you see, that bread in the past sustained the Israelites on their way to the promised land. But this true bread gives life to, did you see it in verse 33? To the world. You see, the bread that God is giving now will bring life to everyone around this world. Not just to a particular people, but it's life to everyone. It's available to everyone to come and to receive and to find life. And so it's not surprising that verse 34, they say, sir, give us this bread always. You'd want that kind of bread. And verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. See, Jesus says, you want this kind of life? You want this kind of bread? Well, you need to look no further than me. I am that bread. You see, Jesus wasn't talking about bread in the bread bin. He's talking about himself and the way in which he gives life. Life now, and life which sustains, and life which will never end. Life with him forever. And the way Jesus was going to do that was by his death on the cross, to deal with our greatest needs. To give us forgiveness of sins, to rescue us in the most remarkable way ever. And that's why we gain life when we come to Jesus and believe in him. You see, Jesus is the one sent from the Father. He is the one who comes from him to give life to the world. And you see how Jesus says we get that life? Verse 35, whoever comes to me and whoever believes in me. Now, coming to Jesus is coming to hear what he says and believe what he says, to trust in him. Believing in him is the same, really. We believe what he says is true. We believe that we need to put our trust in him. We believe that he is the bread of heaven. He is the bread of life. And that when we trust in him, he gives us life. I don't know if this illustration works. It might work. Maybe it's a bit like changing the bridge you're on. I don't know, recently when we were up to Scotland, we went across the Forth Road Bridge, which when you're driving across it, you're thinking, the obviously says this bridge is falling apart. You know, the little kind of wires that are holding it up are all kind of snapping. They even had to close it last year because some bits have snapped. And so you're driving across thinking, maybe this bridge is not going to hold me. Well, in some ways, that's kind of like what our life is like now. We're on something which is perishing, which is about to fall. And yet at the side, you can see this brand new bridge that they're building across. A bridge which is secure. And Jesus is saying, don't put your trust in that old way of life. That bridge which is falling, the seeking to earn food on that bridge because it's going to fall. Rather put your trust in me because I'm a secure bridge, if you like. I'm something that you can rely on and you can put your faith in. And that is the best thing you could do. And I know what bridge I would rather be on. I want to be on the bridge which is secure and safe and will not fail. Jesus says, don't work for food which perishes. Rather work for food which endures to eternal life. That means getting onto the bridge with Jesus. Putting our faith in him, our trust in him. And then Jesus makes that very, very great promise in verse 35. This is just wonderful. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Do you know, I think that's just remarkable, stunning? When you come to Jesus and you believe in him, you will never go hungry again. There will never be a need of hunger for eternal life. Now, he's not talking about the food in our stomachs at that point, but he's talking about the food of our soul. There will never be a need in our hearts again when we come to Jesus. Never again. Come to Jesus once for all, put your trust in him, and then you have it all for the rest of your life and into eternity. You never need to do anything else. You don't come in and then start to earn your way to heaven. You don't earn your way up to Jesus and then try and believe in him. No, you just come and believe in Jesus, and then you have it all. You see, the feeding of the 5,000 was just a sign. It was a sign pointing to what he had come to do, the amazing rescue, the thing which he had come to do, which was to give us life in our hearts. Life which would start now and go on to eternity, life from which he would raise us from the dead in the future. And as we come to him, the bread of life, we find that life. And once we have tasted, we can rejoice. You see what we've seen so far? To recognize and reject the futility of working for food which perishes. Instead, come to and believe in Jesus, the true bread from heaven. But that's not all, because the last verses proclaim something equally remarkable. That we should rejoice that Jesus will never fail. See, Jesus begins this kind of section in verse 36 by challenging the people about their unbelief. We'll see much more of that next week. And then Jesus shows that he is doing the will of God, the will of his Father. And that gives great security. Look at verse 37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I'll never drive away. See what a comfort there is there. Come to Jesus, and he will never drive you away. Now, if you're in heaven with him, if you're in his kingdom, he will never kick you out. No, those who come in will never be thrown out by Jesus. Jesus expands to show why he will never lose anyone. In verse 38, it's because he has come down from the Father. See verse 38? For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus does the will of God the Father. And what is his will? Verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Can you see how comforting that is? God the Father has people he's given to Jesus, and as Jesus comes down, he does the Father's work, and he will bring those people in, and he will never get rid of them, because that's God's will. God the Father and God the Son working together to bring his people into his kingdom. You see, Jesus will never fail. This is God's will. This is God the Father's will. This is the will that God has had for all eternity. God the Father and Jesus his Son will never fail. And Jesus finishes in verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. It's remarkable. Well, as I come to a close this morning, can I say, have you recognized and rejected the futility of working merely for earthly food now? And have you come to believe in Jesus, the true bread from heaven? As I've been thinking this week, I've been thinking, how do you work out whether I've done that? What does that look like in life? And I wonder whether a little diagnosis comes in our prayers. And how we pray each day. See, are you more concerned about praying for the immediate needs of work and family and health? Now, as I say that, of course we should be praying for all those things. Now, Jesus says, bring all your requests to him. But is the majority of the focus on our prayers, on our work each day, on our health and our family's well-being at school, that they make good friends, that they get good results, that they get a good job? Do we pray for our family's new job and their promotion and the house that they've just bought and all those different things? Or do we pray for their spiritual needs to come to Jesus, the true bread from heaven? Do we put effort into praying for those things, seeing that whether they've got a good job and a good degree means nothing in eternity's perspective? Whether we have everything that we might want in this world, whether we've gained the whole world, is nothing unless we have come to Jesus for true life. And do our prayers demonstrate that that's the thing which we think is most important? Is that what we're praying for? Ourselves? Our families? Each other? Your mum and dad? Your children? Because Jesus says that is the most important thing in life. And can I say, we need to have those things clear in our mind as well, that everything in this world is perishing, but Jesus gives security in life, because this world at times isn't good. It's I don't need to say that, do I? We know it's not good. We know that uncertainty comes, that fear comes, which worry comes. Many, many people feel that after the referendum result this week. We know that as we fail the exam or lose the job or the house gets flooded or you face ill health or your nearest and dearest are in trouble and distress. And even when those things come, Jesus says, those who come to me will never be hungry, and those who believe in me will never be thirsty. See the security which he gives? Security which starts now in the midst of the difficulties of this life, and he says, and then he will raise them up to be with him forever, when all those things will be taken away. But Jesus is the place where our security is found. And so we should rejoice in him that he never fails. And that purpose which he has shown here is something which he will never let fall. So let's come to him and put our trust in him, our belief in him. Let us pray for us now. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. We praise you that he is the bread of life. And it's an amazing thought that when we come to him, we can never be driven away from you and from him. And we thank you then that whatever happens here and now in this life, we know we have life within which will never be taken away, and life which will endure to eternal life. And so would you help us to put our trust in Christ. Through the ups and downs of life, may we be coming to Jesus and keep trusting in him, the true bread from heaven. And we pray that you would help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.